Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Looking at part 2 of the message of goodwill. Luke chapter 2. Amen. And Pastor Jeremy, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Father, we do thank you for the day. We do thank you that you paid that ransom full. Amen.
Amen. Luke chapter 2, and we'll begin in verse 10. Luke 2:10. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, and then what? Goodwill toward men. As I mentioned this morning, it just really kind of stuck out to me when I was reading my Bible through that the angels in their position would wish goodwill upon man, when, as we saw this morning, there is no plan of salvation for angels. And of course, it wasn't the condemned angels that were singing this song. It was the angels who followed God, who were praising God and wishing goodwill upon man. So we saw this morning about we should pray and have goodwill toward men that all might be saved. And then tonight, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 33. Deuteronomy 33, we're on the point number two. The goodwill of Moses toward the children of Joseph. The goodwill of Moses toward the children of Joseph. We saw the goodwill of the angels toward mankind. And now the goodwill of Moses toward the children of Joseph. Deuteronomy 33 and verse 1. The Bible says, and this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, bless the children of Israel before his death. Now, wasn't that really something? There's a good example to follow right there. The children of Israel had been disobedient to the Lord from the very start till the very end of Moses' life. And yet, he put a blessing on them, not a curse. And so there's an example that we can follow as well. But let's drop down into verse 13. I wanted to just show you that this was the blessing that Moses was speaking. Deuteronomy 33:13. And of Joseph he said, Blessed of the Lord be his land for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, and for the deep that coucheth beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. Let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. Isn't it interesting in this blessing that Moses gives upon Joseph? He starts in verse 13, the precious things of heaven, the dew, the deep. Verse 14, the fruits. Verse 16, the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof. And isn't it something? Because that is how Joseph blessed his brothers. That's how Joseph blessed his family, was being used of God in such a way that God had him in a place where he could spare the lives of his family through food in a famine. And so all these blessings come back on Joseph. You know, there's nothing we can give to God that he's not going to bless in return. If you hold your place here, notice with me in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Sometimes people are afraid of giving. I thank the Lord for my parents teaching me how to tithe when I was just a little tyke. So, you know, for me, it wasn't any big change in my life. You know, I wasn't married with a bunch of bills and then suddenly get saved and have to start tithing. So I didn't face that drastic change. I was trained in that way, but I've just learned through the years. Luke 6 and verse 38. What's the first word?
Give.
And it shall be what?
Given unto you.
And how much?
Good measure.
And then what?
Pressed down.
And then what?
Shaken together.
And then what?
Running over.
Isn't that the opposite of the products we buy? The potato chips or the cereal? I mean, have you ever opened a bag of potato chips and the potato chips just fell out the top? I mean, it was so full, just under pressure. And or cereal. Have you ever opened a box of cereal and when you pulled open that sack, the cereal just flew up in the air and out? It was so full and under pressure. No. But that's the way God gives. Give. And it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with, it shall be measured to you again. That is how God gives. He is not stingy, is he? Wow. You can't outgive God, that's for sure. And notice with me in Malachi, book of Malachi, once again showing God's goodness in chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. Malachi 3:8. The Bible says, will a man, what?
Rob God?
How many of you would, if you were really hungry, would rob a bank? No way. You're just going to get thrown in prison. I mean, beside the fact that it's just wrong, you're stealing somebody's money, you're going to get caught, you're going to get thrown in prison. What is that going to help? I'd rather die of hunger than rob a bank. But you know, the strange thing is, the Bible says, will a man rob God? There, and I don't ask for people's finances, and I wish people wouldn't talk to me about finances, but when someone tells me I'm too poor to tithe, I feel sorry for them. Because what they're saying is, I'm in a straits, and so I'm going to rob God. That's not too bright, is it? No. It says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In what?
In tithes
and offerings. Ye are what?
Cursed
with a curse. For ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the what? The tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and what? Pour you out a blessing, that there shall what? Not be room enough to receive it. God is not stingy, is he? He is not stingy. And, you know, when we give to him, he multiplies it back, and that's not why we give. Because if we're just giving for that, like, oh, well, you know, I need $100 this week, and so, you know, maybe if I give God 50, maybe he'll double it. You know, well, that's probably like playing the lottery. I never played the lottery, but, you know, just hoping that's not the reason we give. We give from willing hearts to the Lord. But back in Deuteronomy chapter 33, God uses Joseph to wonderfully meet the needs of his family. Even when they've hated him. And God just blesses him back with this blessing from Moses. All of these blessings here. Verse 13, Deuteronomy 33:13. Blessings. Blessed of the Lord be his land for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, for the deep that coucheth beneath. You know, there's so many parts of the country that face drought, and I'm thinking of California in particular and on up through the West Coast. And God is blessed. I mean, in our area, as far as rain this year, God is blessed. He's met the needs. I've watched the crops grow, and God is so gracious to us. So very gracious. Notice with me then in 1 Chronicles chapter 5. Now Joseph received the double portion that normally was saved for the eldest, and that would have been Reuben. Now, why did Joseph receive this double portion? Well, let's look at 1 Chronicles chapter 5. 1 Chronicles chapter 5. And verse 1. 1 Chronicles 5, 1. Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn. So Reuben is son number one. But forasmuch as he defiled what? His father's bed. His birthright was given unto who? The sons of Joseph. So the firstborn normally got a double portion. But that did not go to Reuben. It went to Joseph because of Reuben's sin. And the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright. But verse 2 mentions here, for who? Judah prevailed above his brethren, and of him came who? The chief ruler. But the birthright was Joseph. So it's just mentioned here, not to be confused. Esau lost both, didn't he? He sold his birthright for pottage, and then his blessing was taken away by Jacob. So he lost both his. He was the eldest and lost both. Reuben lost both. Reuben lost the birthright, the double portion, and Reuben also lost the blessing. That didn't go on Joseph, it went on Judah. So Joseph came of Jacob and Rachel, but Judah came of Jacob and Leah. So the Bible just points out here that it went to two different people. Normally, it would go to one, but it was divided up between two. So Joseph was a type of Christ in his life. So many things. He was separated from his brethren. He goes and takes a Gentile bride, just like Christ has come. Christ was rejected by his fellow Jews. And so Christ is taking out for himself a Gentile bride. That's us, unless you have Jewish blood here tonight. But for the most part, I reckon we're probably mostly Gentiles here. And Christ is taking for us himself a Gentile bride. But we think of in throughout the tribulation period, there's going to be a great number of Jews and people from all nations that are going to be saved. God is going to seal 12,000 of every tribe, so 144,000 total. So you come to, in Revelation chapter 1, you see Christ walking amongst the churches. In Revelation chapters 2 and 3, you find the message to the seven churches. But in chapter 4, the first thing, well, let's look at it. There's a message there. Revelation chapter 4. The Bible says in Revelation 4, 1, and after this I looked, and behold what? A door was opened where? In heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were what? Of a trumpet talking with me. Does that make you think of anything? Which said what? Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. If in your mind, if you're having a hard time wondering if Christians are going to have to go through the tribulation period, just study the book of Revelation here. As I mentioned, Christ is seen walking among the churches, chapter 1, chapter 2 and 3. The letters to the churches about churches, you need to wake up. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Those messages of chapters 2 and 3 were not just to those seven churches. He that hath an ear, let him hear. But in chapter 4, the door is opened in heaven. The trumpet, the command, come up hither. Verse 2, immediately he's in the Spirit. And after this point, you don't see the church. What you see is Israel. It's the time of Jacob's trouble. So that does not mean, my wife and I are just talking about that, that does not mean that we might not have to face some tribulation. The fact of the matter is many Christians around the world right now, and some for many years, have faced great tribulation. Not the great tribulation of the tribulation period, but the Christians in China, the Christians in all the Muslim nations, the Christians in Hindu nations like India, the Christians in Russia on and off, the Christians in Europe at different times. They've been burned at the stake in Europe at times in history. So I was telling my wife, really, we're spoiled, aren't we? We really are, as Christians. We are spoiled. We have not really known what it's like to go through real persecution. We might get the door slammed in our face, or we might get someone cuss us out, but there's so many blessings. When I was out on the street the other day, there was only one person that yelled at me. Only one. And I couldn't tell you how many people, you know, thumbs up or waved or honked and didn't look nasty at me, so I knew they were in favor of what I was doing. So we've had it so easy. So we may face some persecution, but the tribulation period, for the most part, that's the time of Jacob's trouble. It's the time of the Jews, their trouble for rejecting Christ, and when they see him coming, they're going to mourn. But when you think of that command to come up hither, let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 reminds us so much. What John was seeing reminds us so much of the rapture. Yeah, in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the Bible says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with what? A shout, with a voice of what? The archangel, and with what? The trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Now, if we had to go through the tribulation period, there wouldn't be much comfort, but this is deliverance from that time. So there is comfort. So when we think of Joseph, how wonderfully God blessed him with the blessing through Moses. What the blessing upon his land and the food that it would bring forth. This was, as we saw this morning, this is the law of sowing and reaping. And Joseph's descendants reaped from his obedience. I pray that it would be that way for us. I pray that our descendants, if the Lord tarries his coming, would reap wonderful blessings from the seeds that we have sown from serving God. I pray that they would reap many blessings. So that's number two. Number one was the goodwill of the angels toward man. They were happy that there was a plan of salvation for mankind. The goodwill of Moses toward the children of Joseph. Number three, the goodwill of servants to their masters. The goodwill of servants to their masters. Ephesians chapter 6. You know, I'm convinced that there are some people that are just so angry right now that they would just like America to fail just so the side they hate fails. That's the problem. And there may be people that are so angry with their boss or employer that they would just wish it would fail, even though they'd be out of a job. But Ephesians 6 and verse 5, the Bible says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from what? The heart. With what? Goodwill." That's what just stood out to me about what the angels said. Goodwill toward man. Well, here's another. With good will doing service. As to who? The Lord, and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he what? Receive of the Lord. Isn't that what we saw of Joseph? Joseph was showing that kindness. We also saw this morning from Matthew 25 that when we do good to the brethren, that's doing good to Christ himself. And Christ is going to reward it as such. So we can't go wrong when we serve the Lord. And he tells us here when we're serving our boss, really, we're serving Christ. Verse 8, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. When I was in high school, for a time I worked at a tool and die shop, and they always chose one of the young men that were, well, our job was just, we just cleaned up the shop. We didn't do anything technical. They tried to get young men out of high school and then get them working there, get them used to their shop, and then when they graduated, they wanted to send them to the local community college and get an associate's degree in tool and die realm. That was their goal. They wanted to train the men how they wanted them. So, but anyway, one of our jobs was to mow the grass. So they chose one of the young men to mow the grass. Well, not all of the young men had cars, and I had a car. So they put a hitch on my car, and they sent me out to Burgess Lake to mow the boss's grass. So they end up buying a brand new John Deere riding lawnmower. And those were the days when most of them were clutch and stick shift. But that one was an automatic, hydrostatic, probably what they called it. And so the instructions were, don't try to free wheel this machine because of this transmission. It's like with your car. If you have an automatic transmission on your car, they very strongly recommend do not tow it a very long distance, if you, automatic, without propping it up. Just don't pull it in neutral because of the automatic transmission. Well, there was one of the boys there at the shop that just was full of mischievousness. And at Burgess Lake, the company property and the boss's property, you went down especially the company property, you went down a steep hill. And he just had to get on that machine and turn whatever it was and roll down that hill time and time again. Just not working, just out of mischievousness. And guess what happened? It ruined the transmission in that new John Deere riding lawnmower. And the boss was not happy at all. And as we think, there are so many people that do not care one iota about the boss and the company. I mean, all they care about is getting a paycheck. They really don't care about anything else. And that was true of that young man who did that to that lawnmower. So later on, I worked at a truss rafter factory, and I could not believe it. Watching grown men talk back to the boss like little kids sassing their parents. It was amazing. Notice in Titus chapter 2, you know what? God does not want us as Christians to act that way. It's a bad testimony. Titus 2 and verse 8. Titus 2, 8. The Bible says, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be what? Obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things. Not what? Answering again. You know, there's some people that always have to get the last word. Have you noticed that? We shouldn't be like that. You know, when the boss tells us to do something, we shouldn't always have to have the last word. Not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. You know, if we can't do what the boss is asking out of good conscience, or maybe just as a Christian, we just couldn't do something like that. There's a right way and a wrong way to appeal to those over us. And sometimes it might be losing our job. in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I was worked for a milk company at one time, just pulling milk from the back cooler to the front cooler. And then I got a job working for a pharmacy. And in that pharmacy, when I was getting the talking to the guy for the first time, when I was getting an interview for the first time, he told me all about the job, and I thought I had it. And then he said, but there's one thing. He said, if there's a prescription to deliver on Sunday, you might be called in to do it. And I said, I'm sorry, but I can't do it. And don't get me wrong, I would, if it was just that, I would take medicine to anyone on a Sunday or any day if they were in need of medicine. But I just knew from past experience that when you say yes to one thing, then it'll be a regular thing. And he said to me, he says, well, other students at the Bible college you're attending, they'll come in on Sunday. And I said, I know, and that's up to them. But I said, I just believe that part of my training is being in church. And so I said, I'm sorry, but I can't. And I got up. I stood up. I thought the interview was over. I thought I'd lost the job. And I was so excited about it because they were going to let me drive the delivery vehicle home. I could have it all the time. And we only had one vehicle, and it was perfect for the hours going to school. But that is just something in my heart that I'd already determined, and that I couldn't do it. And so it was like, well, wait a minute, you know, don't leave. So he said, he gave me the job, but he said, if this situation ever comes up and you won't go in, he said, it may cost you your job. Well, he was the boss over me, but he wasn't the owner of the company. They had several pharmacies. And what happened later on, they never did call me. But later on, I heard at times that the owner of the company would go out and deliver emergency prescriptions on Sundays, and they never once called me, never once. And I just thank the Lord for his grace, but I tried to be a respectful employee, you know, not a cantankerous one. And, you know, this matter of treating our bosses right is so important, because if we are rebels, how will they ever come to Christ? So, but another part of this, it talked about in Ephesians 6. Let's go back there for a moment. Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 6. Ephesians 6, verse 6. It says, not with eye service as what? Men pleasers. Have you ever been accused, you know, working on a job, have you ever been accused that you're just trying to get in good with a boss? I mean, you're doing just an honest day's work and someone tries. When my brother and I worked at a truss rafter factory, that's what we were accused of. We tried to streamline. We were on a line that did specialty trusses. You know, they do stock trusses, just stock sizes, popular sizes. They do them by the hundreds and hundreds. But other ones, like this roof in here, is a cathedral roof. And so we would do those on the specialty line, the smaller ones. We didn't do big ones on the specialty line. And so they had what, I don't know, can anyone in here remember what a ringer washer looks like? A ringer washer. Okay, some of you. Okay. Well, I remember my mom did that when I was a boy, and I'd get squirted by when the blue jeans went through there, and they squirted the water out of the pockets. But this truss rafter factory had a very similar thing, only two giant ringers, two giant rollers that these truss rafters would go through, and they would squish these plates into the trusses. And so the guys before they'd build a truss, staple the plates on, and then push one through, and one guy would run out there and throw it in the rack, and then he'd run back in. And so I thought, there's got to be a faster way to do this. So when possible, I'd get two of those started in there and then start two more through there. So it was like, go out there and rack four instead of one at a time. So we tried to streamline it. And for that, you know what we were accused of? Just trying to get in good with the boss. I mean, just trying to do an honest day's work. You know, sometimes guys are like little kids. You know, they are. Yeah. And it's pathetic, really. But it's this whole idea of being a Christian and wishing goodwill on the boss. Being like Boaz. Boaz blessed his workers. The workers blessed him. That's what we need to be as Christians, to be a good example to our boss. So we're not just trying to get in good with the boss. We're just trying to do an honest day's work. Because the bottom line is that it's really the Lord. Is in verse 8, Ephesians 6, 8. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of who? The Lord, whether he be bond or free. The bottom line is, it's really the Lord that signs our paychecks. You understand what I mean. It's the Lord that blesses that business so that somebody can really sign that check, or there is no money to pay. It's God's blessing. Notice in Philippians 4, Philippians 4 and verse 19. Without his blessing, none of us would have paychecks. Philippians 4:19. But who? My God shall what? Supply all your need according to what? His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. So it's God's riches. It's pleasing God so that he can bless the business, whatever it is. In Psalm 37, verse 25, Psalm 37:25. The Bible says, I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed, what?
Begging bread.
God meets the needs. And so we just need to have goodwill. We need to be Christians who on the job are people of goodwill. Not cursing the boss, not cursing the company, but blessing them in Jesus' name. Showing goodwill to them. The last one here, number four, the goodwill of those preaching the gospel. The goodwill of those preaching the gospel. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And verse 12, Philippians 1:12. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of what?
The gospel.
So that my bonds, and this is one of the prison epistles, he's in jail when he's writing this, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident by what?
My bonds.
You know, sometimes that's what happens. Sometimes, well, it's kind of happened that in the whole COVID thing. Sometimes people were coming down on churches. Sometimes governors, whoever else. But I tell you, sometimes when the persecution starts, Christians wake up. And that's what was happening here in this situation. And many of the, verse 14, many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my bonds are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of what? Goodwill. Some of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of what?
Love.
Of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Have we ever shed tears seeing the lost sinners go by? I did this week. They're going down the broad way that leads where? To destruction. And they go right on their way. We need some tears. We need to preach of goodwill, not of contention. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. We need to preach of goodwill. You know, sometimes if we don't preach the truth in love, people may actually think that we're glad they're going to hell. That's the wrong kind of preaching then, isn't it? I mean, if we come across that we're happy that people are going to suffer forever in hell, somehow we're getting across the message the wrong way. Proverbs 4:23. Keep what? Thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. We need to remember that everything we do in life, if it's with the wrong motive, it's going to go up in smoke. It's going to be nothing but ash. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, all of us are on a lifelong journey of education, and there's one test at the end. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. This is not a test whether we're saved or lost. This is a test for all the things we've done in life, whether we're going to be rewarded. 1 Corinthians 3:11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is who?
Jesus Christ.
That's the determining factor of saved or lost. Verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made what?
Manifest.
That means made known. When you ship something, pray we have a Balak box to go out early in the morning to the Philippines, full of gospel tracts and Bible courses. And when we send out something like that, we have to do what sometimes is called a manifest. It has to tell what's in the box, or what's in the sea container, or what's on the truck. It's the manifest. So one day our lives are all going to be made manifest. Christ, through this test, is going to show what was really in our hearts all along. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by what? Fire. It's not us facing the fire. It's our works facing the fire. And the fire shall try what? Every man's work of what? Sort it is. I see the grocery store has some apples on sale. They're about this big around, it looks like. A lot of peeling, a little apple. What sort? Sometimes you can buy things cheaper, but the sort, the quality might not be there. Verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon. In other words, if any of the work goes through the fire, he shall receive what? A reward. If any man's work shall be what? Burned. He shall suffer what? Loss. Now, not the loss of salvation. It says, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So, can you imagine how discouraging that would be to just watch one thing after another go up in smoke? There's only one way not to have that happen. If we do a self-test. We've got some emergency lights in here we need to get repaired because the power went off recently and we saw what didn't come on. And these have a little self-test button on them. Other emergency lights have a self-diagnostic thing where it just every so many hours or days, whatever it is, they'll switch on, see if they come on, see if the battery's good in them. But there's one downside to all the freedom that we have in Christ. And that is if we don't do a self-test, if we just go on and on and on, if we allow ourselves to not do things with the right motives, imagine what could go up in smoke. So the Lord's given us a chance. Let's be people of good will. Let's strive to get the gospel to people, even though some are cantankerous. But let's strive to do the Lord's will. Let's strive to do the Lord's will with a right heart, with a pure heart. And if so, we can rejoice in time to come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us. Lord, it's so easy to get in the flesh instead of walking in the Spirit. And we know that when we walk in the flesh, we're sowing bad seeds, which we're going to reap, but we're also losing eternal rewards. And so I pray that you would help us. Help us to be willing to open your word and allow you to do a diagnostic test on our hearts. And may we not excuse our sin, but may we confess it quickly. Please use us, Lord, in these days. Father, in these days, there doesn't seem to be too much goodwill. There seems to be a lot of hatred everywhere. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be lights in this dark nation of ours, this dark world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.